The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby.
Up,
we are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, the NBA players have decided to return to play to continue the playoffs. Do you think this was the right decision considering everything that's going on?
After you boycott and you get us back to the issues that are hurting our hearts, when you really pay attention to what Paul George said about his anxiety and depression, when you see the frustration of George Hill about being in the bubble, or Jaylen Brown talking about he wish he could protest, all of a sudden the players realize if we're going to be in the bubble, we might as well complete the task. However, while completing the task, let's get the conversation back towards social justice. And they did just that. Other leagues followed. It was a monumental move. I'm so very proud. And yes, finish the season. You know why? Allow this revolution to be televised. Make people who don't like the slogans on the back, liberation, say his name, say her name, education reform, vote. Make them watch that or not. Make them see Black Lives Matter on the court or not. And for all of the NBA's partners, remember, don't judge anything right now based on numbers, because the grand number that we will be getting if these players get very dissatisfied is zero. That's what we're comparing it to. So as long as we're getting any basketball, as long as we're getting any support and any viewers, that's the win.
First, I want to commend all of the NBA players and the whole NBA community for what has happened, not just in the past 48 hours, but for during this entire bubble experience. The Black Lives Matter on the court, the slogans on the back of the jerseys, the press conferences turning away from talking about basketball, but to talking about social injustice. But my question for you is this, is with even all of that happening, it wasn't enough to change society in a meaningful way. And we know that when we watch the video of Jacob Blake. Now, Jalen, how do you think things will change from pre and post the Bucks and the other teams not playing those games for 2 days?
Well, one thing that's going to change is that now when somebody punches the bully, it gives everybody else courage. And shout to the WNBA. Everybody who follows our show knows how much we love what they do on and off the floor. It now gave strength to soccer, some of the teams in baseball. NHL has to acknowledge it. Osaka basically doing her match in tennis led to them canceling matches. Bubba Wallace, what he did ultimately leading them to take down the Confederate flags. It's progress. And I'm going to give you a sports connotation, a way to think of it. It's field position. That's all. It's field position. We already understand that we're not going to score the game-winning touchdown and walk off like Peyton Manning in our final year. I know that's not going to happen. But we get two or three first downs, Jacoby, then we punt. Then we get the ball back again. We're slowly starting to inch towards trying to allow the world to not only acknowledge our pain, but help support where they can.
In such a monumental, historic, and strange summer, it really did feel like Wednesday night when I sat down to watch the Bucks Magic game and I started looking at Twitter and I realized the Bucks were not coming out. In that moment, I had one of those epiphanies. You're like, I am watching history right now. How do you think this moment will be remembered through decades?
It was one of my favorite moments in the history of sports, because a lot of times your dignity has to be bigger than a dollar. And there will be ramifications if you decide not to play the collective bargaining and you don't want to upset your owners and things of that nature. But as a Black community, we have to understand that usually we're the employee, like the NBA is in this case, because we don't own any corporations. We don't own any networks. So, yes, we are the employees. But you know what we do control? We're the product. And when you go and buy something, the product dictates how much your value really happens towards the marketplace. And you can't just replace the entire Lakers roster. You can't just replace the entire Bucks roster and put the same quality out there. So when your sport is 74% black like the NBA, 80+% black with a WNBA, and even the NFL, you have to find ways to use that real estate to let your voice be heard. And we're talking about athletes defining and changing policy and calling senators and telling their citizen to vote. Where the elected officials at? I was watching TV last night, Jacoby. I didn't hear nobody say Black Lives Matter. And so as that rhetoric about anarchists being described to people who protest and want social justice, that just fuels the movement. And hopefully it puts people in position to make quality decisions as they get a chance to vote coming up.
And watching the Bucks with masks on read that statement, it really called back to a lot of images where athleticism and athletes and activism intersect. And you think about that picture that you have behind you every day in the studio with the Ali Summit. And you think about some of the things that Tommy and John did at the 68 Olympics and Bill Russell and Muhammad Ali. There's a long history of athletes and specifically black athletes being catalysts for change and fighting against social injustice. Do you think that these athletes that we are seeing in Orlando in a bubble during a pandemic will be remembered along with some of the images you see right now?
Absolutely. And you know how much pride I take in the imagery for our show, and very grateful that we've gotten a chance for 10 years to display that to mass multimedia. When we first started doing the show, the mass multimedia shows basically had helmets or bobbleheads or magazine covers. And so we wanted to go and bring the culture to the masses. And we've had two of those gentlemen on our show, and we took pride in having the legends of Jim Brown and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the show. And as you see history, look at their greatness, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, Bill Russell, what he dealt with in Boston, Colin Kaepernick, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. All of those people have very distinct things in common. They were ostracized by society and vilified for their peaceful stance. And now that it's 2020 and these athletes have been able to stand on the shoulders of those giants, they know their economic power and they know their actual value in the marketplace. And they're using that scenario of being rich per se to influence their ownership that is wealthy to make change in a community that they all entertain, but they all should be influencing.
And while I watched this happen, there's something else that came to mind, because we are seeing the NBA stop, restart, and then stop again, and now restarting again. But we are also on the dawn of an NFL season, and Saquon Barkley and Sterling Shepard, they said that some New York Giants were considering not playing a regular season game. As we enter the NFL season, we've seen how the fight against social injustice has manifested itself in the NBA. How do you think it will manifest itself when the NFL season starts?
It's going to happen, and I hate to say this. Other instances continue to take place. There's a litany of names that we've mentioned over the last 4 months, Jacoby. I can't act like we're going to go 4 minutes. I can't act like we're going to go 4 seconds, 4 minutes, 4 days without it happening again. And so when it does take place, I'm going to give you the graduated difference. NBA players completed their regular seasons and in theory got all of their checks. A lot of this is about strategy and about timing. So now that you're in the playoffs, plus everybody's in the bubble, forced to see one another, communicate with one another, all in the same place at the same time, it creates a cocoon for change. The NFL and lastly, NBA owners seem to be more apt to listen to their players and allow them to express themselves, even if they don't believe in those values per se. NFL players start to express themselves, then that league becomes the shield. And then it's like, wait a minute, let's find a different thing to do during the anthem. Let's find another way to express ourselves and not engage in affecting the bottom line. And so these players are going to be tasked with having guys that decide that they don't want to play, and then it's going to be other players that do want to play. Now, the NBA went through that as well, but here's the difference. Enter the Milwaukee Bucks. There got to be somebody to take a stand, and it happened in their backyard. So for the NFL owners, let's see if they muzzle the movement. I believe that they will. And when that happens, they're going to put the players at a crossroads. But another thing is going to take place, NBA owners, NFL owners, y'all players are watching. And when they start to become free agents, they're going to keep score. And those will be the least popular teams as the musical chairs continue to happen moving forward as it relates to decisions about their careers.
That's a really good point. And about his own players' involvement in this movement, head coach of the Bucks, Bruce Arians, had this to say.
Your responsibility is to take action. I don't know that protest is an action. You know, I think each guy has a personal thing. I would beg them to take action, you know, find a cause and either support it financially or do something to change the situation, because protesting doesn't do crap, in my opinion. I've been seeing it since 1968.
Jalen, your thoughts on his statement.
So I'm going to always stay true and fair to who I am. And sure. I stress that I believe that white silence is violence. And I also acknowledge that whether it's Drew Brees or whatever somebody's political beliefs are, I want people to express themselves. I'm not going to vilify them. I don't want them to hide in the closet. So I appreciate him taking his platform to try, in his opinion, to explain what's been happening in our country since 1968. He's somebody you can have a conversation with and try to get towards a solution. But what I want to teach him that's extremely important for us, protesting has done everything. Mm. That term gets thrown out there so very much that we don't acknowledge that there are multiple types of protests. There's sit-ins, there's picketing, there's striking, there's violent ones, there's peaceful ones. There's so many ways to do this. And to start what he said by acknowledging that they don't do anything, and then it almost seemed like the tone, because he used crap, that it could be condescending. But I'm going to let him live, because I'm happy that he's willing to have the conversation. That's what we need. It's not black versus white. It's everyone versus racism. And I'm glad that he's taking his form to try to speak about something that he sees in his eyes we've tried to do since 1968, but haven't gotten any progress, in his opinion.
Well, I understand what he's trying to say, but I do think he's fundamentally wrong about one thing. Yes, it is probably more effective to donate your entire $1 million salary to these causes to help fight these causes. It's probably more effective to go to town hall meetings and try to influence political leaders to cause change in that way. But that is not mutually exclusive with protesting. You can do that and protest. There's no reason. It's not in lieu of protest you do this. And as you've mentioned, I have seen decades and decades since 1968 and before 1968 of protests lead to change. So that is what I fundamentally disagree with him about. But I also agree with you that these conversations are important, and we will continue to have them as we move forward. Because, of course,
especially President, on this day, around 50 years ago, Martin Luther King delivered the I Have a Dream speech. Now, that was a guy, John Lewis was right by his side. That was a gentleman who decided that we were not only going to protest, but we were going to do it peacefully and turn the other cheek.
We'll continue the conversation right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching a very important episode of Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, after this historic stoppage of play in the NBA, President Trump was asked about it, and here is what he said. He said the following, quote, "They've, the NBA, has become a political organization, and it's not a good thing. I don't think that's a good thing for sports or for the country." Your thoughts?
Athletes discussing politics as taxpaying citizens is only not welcomed when you don't agree with what they have to say. But if it's Herschel Walker, if if it's Brian Urlacher, I guess it's just fine. Here's the thing. The NBA players, and this goes to our Bruce Arian conversation. This is why protesting is so very important. Yes, you're going to have people like him now attach terms to it. Mob, anarchist, gangs. And so this, Jacoby, is where we have to stay disciplined and stay focused and not lose sight of the goal and not lose sight of our message. A lot of times noise happens around you, and that's what this is. This is just noise. Don't allow this to slow us down in our pursuit of progress and social equality. That's what we're going for. And I have news for everybody. Okay, America wouldn't be so great without Black lives. It wouldn't. So if you're touting that, you got to think about the people who gave their blood, sweat, tears, and free labor to this country. And don't keep your eye and keep your eyes on the prize.
Yeah, I mean, the dog whistles and the coded language and the law and order platform, it's all politicizing race. And I think when you politicize race, every organization in which there are a diverse group of people working together sort of becomes a political organization. I think that's extremely dangerous to say that that's not a good thing, because I think the more conversations we have, like the one we're having right now, are a good thing, not just for sports, but also for our country. One interesting element from all of this is the role that Michael Jordan has reportedly played in it as a sort of liaison between the players and the owners. Now, naturally, being a legendary player and also an owner, that puts him in a unique position. What do you think about his role in what's happened in the last 48 hours?
I'm in a lot of ways so too disgusted to get excited. And let me tell you what I mean. So let me get this right. You got to be the greatest basketball player of all time, the highest grossing generating athlete of all time, who's become a brand and a logo within himself, to become the only major owner in a sport like the NBA that's 74% Black. And now when it's time to bridge the gap, guess who we gonna go get to talk to the players? Mm. Come on, man. Like, we've had one Black president. There's one president in the NBA, Masai Ujiri. That as much as, of course, I, like everybody else, is going to appreciate his voice and his role, and he the GOAT, and I know him standing in front of a room of young men, of professional athletes, they're going to be able to have a level of dialogue and respect to get us towards our goals. But I want to just talk about the systematic injustice part of that. It almost seems like, you know what, we can't really communicate with the Black guys, so let's go get the one that we have to do it for us. It just made me feel a little bit dirty when I saw the report.
There have been decades and decades and thousands of incidents of police being violent against people of color. And just this summer, George Floyd sort of started this movement. Or not, didn't start the movement, I should say, but sort of reinvigorated this racial reckoning happening in our country. And then it was Jacob Blake that sort of stopped the NBA. My question for you is, what do you think happens when we see the next incident of police violence against a person of color?
I think as these situations keep happening and the rhetoric you just described is taking place from higher offices, all that does is snowball the movement, especially for young people who look at the adults and say, we don't think like that. We don't feel like that about people that don't necessarily look like us. So I think the players, while they are able to get people to tune in to watch the games, at some point while the game should be physically being played, that's an opportunity to do some sort of sit-in, some sort of demonstration to acknowledge some of the things that they're wearing on the back of their jerseys and how you can now bring those things to life.
One thing that I find just so disgusting about all of this is that it just keeps on happening and keeps on happening and keeps on happening. And it turns my mind to something that happened just right here in my family. As you know, I'm in an interracial marriage, and we've got three interracial children, one of which is Quincy, my son, who's 7, and he accidentally saw the George Floyd video on television. And that led to a conversation of him looking at the screen and saying, wait a second, why is that man under the car? I thought the cops were the good guys. He literally said that. And then I had to explain to him about police violence and not all cops are the good guys. And this Jacob Blake video made me think, What if that happens again? What if it happens again? What if he sees this again and he sees it just a few months after he saw one previously? And that's really telling of where we are when an innocent 7-year-old boy who just loves Star Wars and construction trucks is having to be faced with this sort of violence against people that look like him on television. And it made me think to you, Jalen, how do you speak to your children and how should parents talk to their children about these incidents?
Well, hate is taught like a blank canvas. And whatever they are exposed to, whatever they digest is what they become. So you continue to acknowledge the principles that you want to be bestowed upon you. Respect others. Think about their feelings. Be a please and a thank you and an appreciative type of person. And also make quality decisions. And even if you do all of that, because of your skin color, you're going to still have to work 2 times as hard and get paid half as less.
Well put. We'll continue with more right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, the Bucks not taking the floor on Wednesday night has reverberated all throughout the sports world. And you see the litany of leagues that have stopped games, that have joined the movement. What does this tell you?
That they want to police accountability. They want to make sure that the owners allow them to use their resources to make sure people vote in their communities, which is very important. They want to enact the George Floyd law that related to how police are able to interact with people that they're alleged suspects. But how about Jacob Blake's state right now, Jacoby? He gets shot in the back 7 times with his kids in the back of the car. He's paralyzed from the waist down. And in a hotel, in a hospital bed right now, he's handcuffed. He's paralyzed from the waist down, and right now, he's handcuffed. This is how America has treated us since the beginning of time, and it's disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting, and he has not been charged with a crime. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. We will see sports over the weekend, but we will not stop the fight against social injustice. We always have to give the people they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content. And while we're outside the construct of television segments, we can speak a little longer, a little more freely about all these topics. And one thing I did want to bring up that we spoke to during the television show a little bit was what the NFL is going to do and how they're going to react. Because you mentioned this, and I think you're spot on, that NFL leadership and ownership seems to be a little less progressive, listen a little less to the voice of their players, and care a little less about this movement. Now, I could list how I got to those conclusions, but I think everyone who is listening to this podcast has already done that work themselves. But I'm curious to see what the field's going to look like. Are there going to be statements on the back of the jerseys? When the press conference conversation turns from a third down and 12 to a senseless act of violence from police on a person of color, how the league will react? What do you think will happen when the NFL starts?
Jacoby, you're a professional, you're an entrepreneur, you're a father. There's so many titles that you've held in this industry and personally. Educated. A lot of what happens when decisions actually get made and progress takes place, a lot of it has to do with leverage and timing. You and I know that. Negotiating a contract, whatever. It's all about both. And for the NBA players, it became a perfect storm because they're in the bubble. So now you're interacting not only with each other and other people on and also your peers on other teams, but you're also in the bubble with your coaches, in the bubble with people that work on your team. So now you're face-to-face, you're eye-to-eye as it relates to trying to get toward outcomes and make things happen. These players in the NBA understand that they've played their regular season already. So if you want to forfeit playoff games, I don't really forfeit checks. The season is already in the books. That's leverage. That's leverage. The series has already started. 2-2, 3-1, 3-0, 4-0. It's already started. So now we need to talk and get back to the table and try to make sure we make this a conversation. For the NFL, it's vastly different. The NBA's logo is of a player, Jerry West. The NFL's logo is of a shield, and that's how they treat their players. They want it, even if NBA, of course, there are going to be some NBA owners that probably don't think Black Lives Matter, but you know what they ain't going to do because it's going to sink the value of their product?
Say it.
Right? Even if they believe it, they ain't going to say it. Ask Donald Sterling in his own way. Now, in the NFL, however, the dynamics of the popularity of that sport is different. It's an older sport. It's a whiter sport. It's played once a week, usually by the teams versus multiple games. And they're spread out. They're not in a bubble. They're trying to play games. They're not in a quarantine. They're going to be getting on airplanes going back and forth. So I believe the players that decide not to play, if it's Saquon Barkley, you know what the Giants will probably still do? Put players out there that'll wear that uniform and play that week.
Mm-hmm. We've seen
so it is different.
And one thing I think that's really important is the psychology of being in a bubble in relates to all of this. Because even before the tragic shooting of Jacob Blake, right, we heard about the difficulties of the mental health aspect of being in the bubble. And I can imagine when you've got hundreds of African-American men in a Walt Disney resort, staying at the same hotel room over and over again, hotel to the gym, to the pool, hotel to the gym, to room service, hotel to the gym, to the lobby bar. And that over and over and over happening, that is a difficult enough struggle just to get through to do your job. That's a sacrifice enough. But then to see what's happening outside of the quote unquote bubble, literally not being able to leave. Because we saw what happened after the murder of George Floyd is NBA players could take to the streets. They could join the voices calling for justice. And I feel like they are there not, they don't feel they can join the voices calling for justice in the same way. However, they do have the microphones and the cameras and the platform, right? So when you hear that they decided to play again, what do you think was said in that room? I know you weren't there, but what do you think was said in that room when they're considering leaving or staying?
Well, I wasn't physically standing there, but, you know, I've been on a speaker with a few calls in a few rooms and kind of got a pulse of what's happening and who's saying what and who's feeling what. The revolution is being televised because you have the NBA stage. You could still rally via social media using your celebrity when you're not in the bubble. But the unique thing that's happening in the bubble that has not happened outside of the bubble is having 200 people in the same place at the same time. That's powerful. And so if that's going to be the case, use this stage and play the game you love. And then when the season ends, you still have the opportunity to have the change that you desire. But I don't want to put too much pressure, too much responsibility, too much obligations on 200 or 300 people who want to do the right thing and want to see the George Floyd law happen and want to make sure that people vote and are really trying to be unifiers in a lot of ways. I don't want them multitasking to take away from the political officials and the elected government individuals who this should be their daily job.
That is their job. That is their job. That's why they were elected. That is their job. Giannis Antetokounmpo is an amazing basketball talent who finds itself in a position where he feels obligated to become a sort of political figure, for lack of a better term. But political figures wake up every day as political figures. So they're the ones who should be chiseling out policies and debating and voting and trying to pass bills and reform policies. But sometimes it feels like, because of the cameras and microphones and popularity of these athletes who are Black, there is a responsibility that they can be effective and use their platform to help reform and change policy. And it does, do you think it's fair?
I do think it's fair, because being Black, we inherit multiple responsibilities. I've learned, and correct me if I'm wrong, usually in certain cases, when white individuals become successful, they're not required to like take care of their siblings or their cousins or like give back to their community in the way that we do, because we've been oppressed so much. It seems like it takes a community to help us start to dream. And then that same community nurtures us, protects us, and puts us in position to achieve our goals. So once that happens, there's a level of appreciation and obligation you just have that you want to try to make sure, if it's your time, your energy, your money, or whatever, that you're able to give back to those that did so much for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to take everybody behind the curtain a little bit on this program, because right there are going to be playoff games. I'm going to watch the games. You know, I'm going to watch the games. I love NBA basketball. I love the sport of basketball. And that's not mutually exclusive with fighting for social injustice. I've got 2 hours to watch the games. And on Tuesday, we're going to have a show, right? And then we have to sort of decide the balance between talking about how Luka splits the pick and roll and talking about the oppression of people of color in the country, you know? So how do you think we could do that on this program with our staff and our platform next week when the games resume?
Well, each game, players have messages on the back of their jerseys. And so many people who try to minimize what protesting means or the opinions of those who want to see change, they try to say, so what's next? So what's next? So what's next? That's their way of really saying, we don't kind of care about what you're saying. What are you going to do? When they're ignoring what you're already doing. A protest is an action. That means you're already doing something. You know, I just believe that it's important to not lose sight of our goals. See, so many times it's smoke and mirrors, Jacoby. It's like, well, Colin took a knee, but it was about the flag. No, it was not about the flag. It's not about the flag. Oh, these people are protesting. They're anarchists. They're a mob. No, they're just organized individuals. They're trying to let their voices be heard. Yeah, there are going to be some rogue individuals when you have an uprising. We're not a monolith. We can all stand and be 1,000 of us. And Mike Tyson can punch each of us in the jaw. All of us are going to respond different. Some of them are going to fall down. Some of them are going to have a concussion. Somebody's going to have a broken jaw. And you know what one of those people might do in the line? Take his punch and hit back. It don't mean that they don't all agree. It just means that they're going to all handle it different. And so while you have this stage and this position of influence, continue to use it and use it wisely, and don't worry about the money. Because if you really look back at the difference between the 60s and prior to the civil rights movement and Jim Crow laws and things of that nature, one of the distinguishing factors is we now have players that are uber rich. So now that gives you the autonomy to have more an opinion. How many billionaires you think were going to work like it was essential during a pandemic? They wasn't doing that. They were staying safe.
Mm-hmm. Jalen, one thing that I just want to express to everybody listening to this is, if you're listening to this, you're saying, you know what? I want to join the fight against social injustice. What can I do? Should I give money? Should I go out and protest in the streets? But one thing I want to tell everybody, one thing that everybody can do, every single person, is vote. There's an election coming up. Vote. Vote. If you're ever wondering what can I do, one thing everybody can do is vote. That's one way that everyone can directly affect change. And you can talk about the effectiveness of a protest or whether the money gets put in the right places that you donate to a foundation or this or that. But one thing that you can do to directly affect change in this country is vote. So if you're listening to this, make sure you're registered and make sure your vote, you can vote, because that's one way that you can be heard for sure.
And also, you know, you're making an impact when the oppressor tries to suppress your voice. So I've had a remote control in my hand and I saw him picking up mailboxes. That was happening. I didn't make this footage up. I had never seen that visual, that imagery before. Why are they doing that? To interrupt mail-in voting. That means it probably is effective. So you don't have to wait till November to vote. You can vote today. You can vote right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can vote on Monday. You don't have to wait. And Jacoby is right. That is a way to do influence. But also for our show is to highlight the messages on the back of the jerseys and show people the meaning of them and the action with them if you want to make change.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jalen, I appreciate just doing this show with you. You know, I think that you've been a wonderful voice, not just in the last couple of days, but in the last decade. And I like to exercise all of these thoughts, especially in an interracial partnership, you know, between the two of us, because, you know, we both have different perspectives. There are ways in which that we are exactly the same and very many ways in which we're not alike at all. And I've always appreciated that over the past 10 years. And we will be off on Monday, but on Tuesday, we'll be back to give the people what they want. Why is that?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. You got to give the people.